The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
11 minutes after 6, the breaking news, inflation and prices, wholesale prices appear to be kind of flat right now. So maybe a little bit of relief from the roaring inflation. Instead of roaring inflation, it'll just be simmering inflation. It's kind of a simmering boil, right? Anyway, join the conversation. This is the Bill Myers Show on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Heard a good one? 770-563-3770-KMED. My email, bill@billmyersshow.com. I'm not as grumpy today. I did the right thing. I took a sleeping pill. I know you're not supposed to take sleeping pills. I try not to take sleeping pills because there is more and more research that says that these chemicals that are in the common sleeping pills, you know, like the they call them interrupters, some kind of an interrupter, and that it could cause cognitive decline over time if you use a lot of them. So anyway, remember when I said I just had no sleep yesterday, there was no sleep the night before. So I actually had sleep. But I don't want to go off into the world of Ambien and all of the other drugs that people seem to be taking a lot. So, I mean, I took like that sleep aid from Costco, the doxycycline, something or other, I don't know. But it's still not a good thing. And sometimes just melatonin doesn't cut it. But enough about me. What about you? Huh? Join in 770-5633. Big news here in the state of Oregon, as far as I'm concerned, is Oregon Court of Appeals ended up saying that Measure 114, and they'll always put this on it, voter-approved firearms measure is constitutional. And ballot measure 114 does all sorts of things, requires you to get it's two permits, really. It's like, first you have to have a permit to be able to attempt to buy a firearm, but it doesn't actually give you the permit to buy the firearm, and then you have to go and do another background check later. And in order to get the permit to buy the firearm, you have to go to a class which will be provided by law enforcement or is certified by law enforcement. That doesn't exist. And most municipalities are not going to do this. And it just astounds me. It just astounds me that we have a judiciary. But remember, our judiciary that approved and just decided that Measure 114 is constitutional, all of these people were appointed by Democratic governors. That's the way it is. This is the reason why I have been so emphatic about, every time there is somebody who is appointed by the governor, with rare exception, vote for someone who may actually have the temerity to run against them. We've had situations like that here in Southern Oregon, in which someone who was not brought up in the left-wing lawyer cabal and maybe had a different way of looking has tried to challenge the system. I'm a big fan of elected judges. And then what ends up happening here? Every time, we've talked about this for time and time again, a couple of things end up happening. Somebody decides to retire, but they never serve their term out. So this way that there is an election and someone is then elected by the people. In other words, you have numerous lawyers battling it out with one another in order to try to become a Supreme Court judge or, Oregon Supreme Court judge or something else, all these kind of things. Nobody ever gets a chance, or rarely do you ever get a chance to vote on those things. It's usually you have your choice of which Democratic judge can you give a vote for, and then nobody else runs against that judge ever. And you know why nobody ever runs against that judge? First off, because they know how the game is played. If you want to be a judge, you have to wait for the Democratic governor to select you and then put you in the office. And then nobody will ever challenge you, that kind of thing. And the other reason nobody will challenge the judge is that if you lose to that judge, then you have to go into his or her court, into her court. That's not fun, is it? Chances are bad for your client. So it's bad for business one way or the other. But the way we do the judiciary here in the state of Oregon is bad for people's rights, as far as I'm concerned. At least real rights, that sort of thing. But anyway, the court took a look at the appeal and said, on its face, it's perfectly constitutional. No problem on this whatsoever. Go ahead. Yeah. And it bans the purchase of magazines that hold no more than 10 rounds of ammunition. So it's like the California type thing. Requires the permit for anybody wanting to buy a firearm. Now, they do say it won't go into effect immediately, and I know it won't be because I have no doubt it's going to be appealed again. But we'll talk with Kevin Starrett about it. It just shows you, though, the Measure 114 decision just tells you how corrupt the Oregon judiciary is. And this is why I kind of laugh when people call, well, Bill, you know, we've got this problem here with the Democrats doing all this kind of stuff here, and it's really wrong, and it's obviously against the Constitution. Can't we just get together and file a class action lawsuit, and then we'll get the judges? And I said, okay, you're going into court in front of a Democratic-appointed judge, friendly to Democratic principles. Now, when I say principles, Democrat Party, not Democrat as in democracy, Democrat Party. And their reading of the Constitution is, well, the Second Amendment means a strong National Guard. yeah, said no one ever in the founding. You know, they're one of those type of people. And the irony, though, is that Oregon actually has a very strong Second Amendment in our state constitution, actually stronger, I think, than the federal government. But, you know, when you can get Democrat governor judges to go along with it, they get the memo. They know how it is. Everybody gets the memo. They know how you're supposed to rule on this kind of stuff. And I think the basic rule is to just grind us to death in having to dig into our pockets and pay for lawsuits while we, the taxpayers, also have to pay the Oregon attorneys to defend against this stuff. You know, we have to fight the state with our own tax money, with our own money, and then the state takes our money to fight us. It's just the way it is. This is why I said, you know, going into the courts is never a sure thing here in the state of Oregon. It's never really a good thing. Unfortunately, it's the only thing we can do, you know, at this point. But we can discuss that if you want. The interesting part about this is I'm just thinking about how much in my firearm safe was declared illegal yesterday. You know, after the fact, you've had legal things for years, and it's not really like illegal guns. But then they'll say, all these magazines. Most of my firearms came with 15, 16, 17, 19. In fact, the Taurus came with a 19-round magazine. From the factory, came that way. Nope, be illegal. You can still own them, but you can't take them out of the house. Now, I can assure you this will be one of the most violated laws if for some reason it goes through all the appeals and ends up going into effect. This will be one of the most violated laws everywhere. The real issue, though, is that it shuts down the gun industry here. You're not going to have any gun stores effectively open. That's where we find ourselves right now. That's why it is as serious as a heart attack, because Democratic judges and Democratic governors only want dirtbag criminals in Portland armed with it as they steal firearms that are left from everybody else. That's usually how they do it. But they're going to say, oh, we're going to help you fight suicide here, and we're going to... The same state that is more than happy to kill you with a doctor's help, as long as you do the doctor's help correctly. You want to suicide yourself more directly. That's bad for some reason. You want to suicide your child? That's okay. We do that. We call it abortion. It's a weird place we live. I love this state, but I'll tell you, it's a weird government. There's no way of getting around that. We can talk about that. Anything else on your mind here, too? Something else we're going to be discussing here with Maureen Steele. She's from the American Made Foundation. It has to do with what they're saying, that the state-sanctioned kidnapping industry is really Child Protective Services, not just in our state, any state. And that there are a lot of incentives to kidnap the kids from their parents. A lot of money floating around here. Still something to talk about. It's a good Conspiracy Theory Thursday talk, and I just checked in with her because we were not able to get together last time due to a miscommunication, but I assure you she's here in about 15. Looking forward to it. Your call, 770-5633.
When it comes right down to it, when we buy things, we want the best products.
Hi, I'm Mark with Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, and I'm on KMED.
22 after 6 on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. We always like more cowbell here in our bumper music, okay? 770-5633. Deplorable Patrick, how you doing on Conspiracy Theory Thursday? What are you thinking? Hello, Patrick. The button didn't work. I punched it again. Now you're on. Good morning.
Hot dog. I'm thinking that I didn't expect 50 years ago when I moved to Oregon I was going to be moving to a communist state, but let's just keep moving here. I didn't think I'd be worried about this measure 114 because I didn't think I'd be buying any more guns, but I got interested in one, and now I'm wondering if how soon will that take effect?
Well, there is no plan for it to take effect right now. And the way I would look at this, and I'm going to talk with Kevin, it looks like the people who were the plaintiffs in this case are definitely going to appeal, so it will, for the time being, still be gummed up. But it's a matter of, once again, we have to raise money and continue to fund the lawsuit. We have to continue to do this. And ultimately, I don't know if he can even still win in the Oregon courts. The Oregon courts are really the issue, one way or the other, because most of the judges are appointed by Democratic governors, and they get the memo. You know how that goes. It's like everybody knows how. And they contort themselves. They contort themselves like a corrupt limbo dancer. You know, it's like they put the Constitution, you know, about 6 inches off the ground, and corrupt Democratic judges are able to, you know, they will craft some decision and opinion that they will limbo their corrupt rulings, you know, underneath that limbo stick. You know, it's amazing what they do.
They got to grease up to do that. But I on the fire issue, I don't know if I was a Democrat in a former life or what, but I'm trying to look at this thing from both angles. And, you know, this thing about having fire on the whole land, I'm thinking, you know, you got to look at the good side. Think of all the great exercise we'll get running for our lives.
You know, that's good. Looking at the bright side of it, of course, the only problem is that if you're doing a lot of cardio in fire smoke, then you have the fire smoke damage to the lungs. So it's like, you know, six of this, half a dozen of another, you know, that kind of thing. You got to, you know, consider that. Just keep it in mind. All right.
I'll keep that in mind.
All right. Thanks, DP. Let me go to Holly. Hey, Holly Morton, getting ready for the Patriots conference Saturday. Looking forward to speaking there for a little bit. How are you doing today? Welcome.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm listening to this conspiracy theory Thursday, and you know, we have the most beautiful state probably in the country. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Incredibly beautiful state. Ugly, stupid politics. Venial politics is what we're dealing with here.
It's ridiculous. Yeah? Our schools are ranking 49th. Our state, 49th out of 50 states. And the only reason we're not 50th is because Alaska didn't weigh in. So we're actually the lowest state. I mean, here, beautiful state. In addition to that, you know, we've got crazy things going on in the court, 114. We've got all of these things that are driving us nuts. And citizens just have to get involved. We can't just sit back and let this wave wash over us. We've got to get involved. And it does help. You know, when the citizens got involved and went up to Salem and we, you know, started rattling some chains and things, they eliminated the fire map 762. They started to try to put...
And then they came back and rebuilt it. It's kind of like, you know, the zombie rising from the grave again. And so they kept doing it. They reworked it. And so people were having to rise up again and vanquish this. Now, I know that Senator Golden says... He wants it repealed, and he thinks that it's going to be repealed. I will believe it is repealed when it is dead in the grave and there is a wooden stake shoved through the fire map's heart. But I'm not going to believe that until I see it. What about you?
Well, yeah. I asked him for it in writing when we were up there talking to him, and he was like, well, you know, he wasn't really wanting to put anything in writing, that's for sure.
Of course.
But he was mentioning, and you know, now they were working on the wells. I think they pulled back on the wells. When citizens get involved, things go much better. So we, you know, you mentioned the Patriots Conference on Saturday. There are going to be so many people there. We're going to be talking about education. We're going to be talking about homelessness. We're talking about all these legal issues, and that'll include, you know, 114 now.
Has Stephen Yonkis, the attorney, talked with you about that yet? Is he going to be touching on that?
He'll be one of the speakers at the conference on Saturday. So
yeah.
We encourage people to get there. You need to get with other patriots, figure out what you can do, listen to what's going on so you're well informed, because that's the biggest problem. So many people wait until the laws have been enacted and so forth to even realize it's happening.
And then they don't even know where it came from. And it's because there's a little bit of this, and I think you take this in the meaning intended. It's almost like there are some folks who think that watching Fox News or Newsmax and listening to talk radio is accomplishing something. You know what I'm getting at? And I'm not trying to smear people or throw everybody under the bus. But the work to defend your rights is hard, and it takes more than just thinking the right way. You know what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I do. But at least they're informed. If somebody listens to your program every day, 6 to 9, they're going to be pretty well informed of what's going on.
And I agree, and I'm fine with that. Yeah. But the real thing that I try to do in the show is to encourage it. And that you have to do action. It's like the people that had these fire map issues. Great. They go to the meeting. They rise up. Their voices. Remember a year ago at the Patriot Act, at the Patriot conference, rather. And I spoke then, too. And remember, my theme was basically the power of no, the power of saying no and not compromising. And I think we're kind of seeing a success or a potential success when it comes to the fire map issue. We have to apply the power of no to a lot of other things. And of course, it may mean just open defiance of state government. I think we're getting very, very close to that, to that time in the state of Oregon. I don't like saying that, but I think that's the reality. We might have to revisit some of that on Saturday's talk.
I think you're right, because the state is taking a firm stance. No, we're not going to do anything about illegal persons entering our country. Mm. Here we have, some of the most broke counties in the nation, in our own state, and yet they still want to bring in more people, and it's totally insane.
And bringing in more dependents. Yeah, you're right about that. So anyway, we got a lot of work. We still have a lot of work to cut out. Well, the work never ends, really, but we'll talk about that with a bunch of people on Saturday at the Josephine County Fairgrounds, okay? And you can buy tickets for that at the door, right?
You can buy it at the door. You can buy it at our office. You can call our office at 541-295-8100, and we can, put it on a credit card and have it ready for you at the door. There are all kinds of ways to get tickets. They're inexpensive. We have a number of comp tickets for people who are struggling right now. We want everybody to get this message.
All right, very good. Hey, Holly, good talking with you. We'll catch up. All right, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, 6:30. Let me grab line 4. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Good morning, Bill. Tom here.
Hello, Tom.
Well, both Patrick and Holly there are talking about how poorly run the state is, and it's so true. I mean, I feel like Oregon has been captured by a bunch of Lulubells up there in Salem, and they're running the state into the ground, and people like Jeff Golden, Pam Marsh, and so forth, and then the whole Democrat mindset are not, their decisions aren't based on reality. They're just based on, rainbows and unicorns and ice cream.
And there's been a lot of grant stream funding that has kind of backed the ability to have a lot of very poor thinking in control in the state of Oregon.
Speaking of that, I'd like to direct people to Martin Armstrong's. He has an article up on his website, and it's called "Biden Spends Over $1 Trillion on DEI to Build Back Better." And it's someone a while back asked me, where did all this, gender, this and that, and DEI, where did it all come from? Oh, there it is, sitting there, $1 trillion. Think of that. That's 3 times the amount of money that was sent to Ukraine. It's kind of hard to imagine what $1 trillion does to the brain sets of, the country. But, and going back to what you were talking about with Holly and this whole conference, my concern about this is that, yeah, you get a bunch of patriots together, but it's like an echo chamber. My question is how you get out of the echo chamber and actually reach people outside the echo chamber. Because you know what's going on. Most of your listeners know what's going on. But, you're and me, I guess, are blacklisted in so many mindsets because people are so indoctrinated. They can't hear what you have to say. They can't see what you're seeing and so forth. So I'm throwing this question out. How do we get out of this echo chamber and actually reach enough minds here in Oregon to right the ship, because right now we're being run into the ground. I mean, we just barely escaped that wind farm off the coast, and, you know, kumbaya, climate crisis change, and so forth. They're using all these things to just
to leverage it, yeah,
to the ground.
Yeah, to leverage it. You know, it's you know, part of me wonders here, Tom, and I don't say this happily. Maybe the only thing that that cures the thinking of Oregonians is collapse.
Ooh, yeah.
It tends to tough times tend to sharpen minds in some ways. I'm not advocating this, but you know, a lot of funny money has been able to paper over stupidity and venal policies, in my opinion, here in the state of Oregon, and perhaps that may be coming to an end. I don't know. Appreciate the call as always. Dave, you wrap it up real quick. What's on your mind, huh?
Yeah, Chuck Schumer is the dumbest guy I've ever seen. He's fallen into a trap because he isn't supporting the resolution for the budget.
Mm-hmm.
And now we can blame the Democrats because they can't get 60 votes.
Yeah, but you see, that's where the Republicans fall into a trap, because Republicans are always blamed for shutting down the government. You know that.
Yeah, except it's not going to work this time, because remember, Chuck Schumer is the first Palestinian minority leader of the Senate.
Okay. You know, Dave, it's pretty funny when it comes right down to it. No, I assure you, Republicans are always blamed for the government shutdown, because before, we would try to shut down the government because we didn't like where the spending is going. Well, now we have a bill here, and then how will the media report it to the dim bulbs that are the majority of news consumers in this country? It'll be, that's right, you know, they put a bad budget out, and the Democrats were out protecting us. That's how it will be spun. You do know that,
yeah,
right?
Except that Fetterman said it's going to backfire.
Okay, well, maybe, hey, we'll take it from Fetterman. Fetterman, I like that. I hope you're right about that, but I'm saying don't just assume that that Republicans won't be blamed. I appreciate the call. Thanks for that. 635. I'm just looking at history. You know, looking at history. Now, past performance is no guarantee of future gains, you know, that sort of thing. But just saying, we'll see. We'll see. It's 635.
When you choose a contractor, how do you know?
By Dusty's Transmissions.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
Are there perverse incentives for the state to break up families? That's one of the questions we're going to be talking about this morning with Maureen Steele. Now, Maureen Steele and Ann Vandersteel are co-founders of the American Made Foundation. I want to talk with Maureen first. Maureen, how are you doing this morning? Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm great, Bill. How are you?
I'm great. Could you tell me a little bit? I mean, yeah, we're under stress here. It's the state of Oregon afterwards. We're surrounded by crazy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But what is the American Made Foundation, and why did you and Ann get together and do this? What's the purpose?
Sure. Well, the purpose of American Made Foundation, it's a two-part foundation. There's the action piece, which is a 501c4, mm-hmm. American Made Action, and that so we can lobby, we can fund court cases. And then there's the foundation part, which is for education, and that's a 501c3, to educate people, to expose corruption, to, you know, do documentaries, to teach people what's going on in the courts in particular right now. That's really our focus.
So it does appear to be you're focusing on the judiciary and what's going on there, right? Is that
yes,
fair? Okay.
It's become wildly corrupt.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to, you know, to hear this. We need more people like you. Now, are you in Montana? Is that where you're based, or?
I used to live in Montana. I'm in Florida now, so I moved down here. That's where we're, that's our kind of our headquarters for this endeavor.
Okay, good. I wanted to touch on, well, first off, I want to let you know, we were going to talk about child protective services and family courts. And I've had bad experiences in family court, you know, getting divorced a number of years ago. It just pedal to the metal. And there was just no way, you know, even though I had been assaulted by a former spouse at that point, I was considered the bad guy, according to the state court system and the guardian ad litem. And I don't want to just relitigate this. But when I talked about that you were going to come on and about child protective services, I'm getting all sorts of emails from all sorts of people telling pretty similar stories, how, you know, the family has been broken up. We can't really get our hearings. Nobody will really tell us what is going on. And there just seems to be a real push to break families up and get kids into foster care. And yet in Oregon, we have problems with kids dying in foster care, right? You know, so we have challenges all around. What are the incentives for states to break things up? And you say there is one. There's actually a federal law that ended up pushing a lot of this a number of years ago.
Yeah. So they are incentivized. And whenever you put money on anything, anyone's head, and they have money on our children's heads, that it's ripe for corruption. So in 1997, Hillary Clinton, what a surprise, sure, everyone's shocked, she wrote a bill, and it was the Adoption and Safe Family Act. And so that's what they do. They write these bills, and it makes it sound like it's great. It's for you. It's going to help. And what that actually did, and Bill Clinton put it in, he signed it. And what it actually did was put a price tag on kids' heads and incentivize states to take children. So that's when really this family court, CPS, crime syndicate really started. And in the paperwork, it says the goal is always to reunite the family. I mean, it sounds great. But actually, they get paid bonuses for adoption.
Really?
They get paid, over $10,000 in many cases. And that's just to one organization. So if you're not just dealing with CPS, this is what's important for everyone to understand, and anyone who's been in family court understands this. You're feeding the CASA, you know, the court-appointed special advocates. You're feeding the, you know, the guardian ad litem. You're feeding the court-appointed mental health specialist, and they always send you to the same place. You know, every county has their one little feeder. You have, you know, anger management classes, parenting classes that are exorbitant. You have child visitation centers that are wildly expensive. So you're
you know, this is sounding like my divorce from 2000 in Minnesota, right? This is this is sounding just like it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So that's just their routine. And so once you're in the system, they don't want to let you out. You're a cash cow. And so, and for keeping you in the system, they get bonuses from the Fed. So you have HHS, which sort of oversees all the funding. And so that's the cash cow. And so the more kids you take away from their parents, the more you keep them in the system, the more money you get. How many kids did you take away? Oh, well, that's a $500,000 bonus. You know, how many kids did you put into foster care? And that's the thing. There's private foster care. Like say you and your wife opened up your home to a foster child. Mm-hmm. That's private. And then there's group foster homes. Those get more money. Sometimes they get up to $5,000 to $10,000 a month for every child in there. And if you've ever seen any of those homes or any of those kids that live in those kids aren't wearing $5,000 to $10,000 worth of clothes and getting that and food. Again, it's just it's a racket. And I think this is the time to bring this forward, Bill, in the way that everyone's watching what DOGE is doing, and you're seeing the wild corruption, the money laundering. And that's all this is. This is another money laundering program along with a scheme to steal children. 85% of kids that are removed from their families and go into foster care are abused physically or sexually. So this system isn't about, and that's their own statistics. This system is not about protecting kids. It's a cash cow. It's a multi-billion dollar, an $80 billion a year system. And the divorce industry is a $60 billion a year industry. These are money makers. And of course, you go right back to the 60s when they started to try to ruin our country, convince women they don't belong in the home. So you sever that mother-child bond, get women out of the home. Now the kids are ripe for the picking. And so essentially that's what this is. And 400,000 kids in the last couple of years have gone missing in this country. Poof, just vanished. We don't know where they are. And they've been trafficked through foster care system. In fact,
do you have evidence that it's being trafficked through parts of the foster care system? That's an astounding claim, really.
Yeah, no, it really is. And now I'm drawing a total blank, and I'll get back to you later on this bill so that you can say it on air. There's a bill that a senator just put in because that's what he was saying, is that they acknowledged that the foster care system is the largest trafficker of children in our country. And of course, everyone knows that the United States is the largest customer for child sex slaves, and the Super Bowl being the biggest day of the year for it. I don't know if most people understand that, but yes, that is all very true. And all this links, as you can see with Doge, you see how, you know, the money laundering goes and all of these agencies we get kind of linked together with banking and insurance. And we're fighting a Goliath right now. And our country has been stolen right out from underneath us. But the biggest attack was on the family. If you can destroy the family, the backbone of society, you can take it over. And then you go after the most vulnerable. And that's the children. And that's exactly what they've done. And anyone who's been in family court, you just said it yourself. It's like a program. It's just a thing they run you through, whether you need it or not.
Oh, yeah. I was definitely right. Now, my situation was 25 something years ago. I was battling for my son, Will. Yeah, at that time.
Uh-huh.
We're fine now. Yeah. You know, we got through all that. But the first thing that I couldn't help but notice is that I was guilty of being a man, first and foremost.
Oh, yeah.
That was the first thing. And you could tell that you were being ground up in this system. It's like, okay, you can file appeals and court appeals and go bankrupt and do all these other things. It's not going to matter, Bill. It's what people were pretty much, and they were right. You know, and they were right at that point. But I have to tell you, though, by the way, Maureen Steele's with me, one of the co-founders of the American Made Foundation. We're talking about child protective services. I'm concerned about throwing the entire foster system under the bus, though. And here's why, because I've known people. In fact, I even work with a gentleman here at the radio station who have, from time to time, has fostered children and, you know, in the state system. And I have to tell you, some of the people they're dealing with, it's tough for the kids. I consider them doing God's work in many ways. So how do we separate the child traffickers from the people doing God's work? I mean, what do you think about that? What could be done?
Well, I think it all needs to go back to the states. I think, you know, it's whenever you get the Fed involved and the government involved, I think it's, things go sideways. And when you put a price tag on children's heads, things go sideways. So
you're thinking as long as you have the federal government subsidizing it, it's going to be a problem. Is that kind of what you're saying then?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's how they hijack your bank accounts. You don't even understand that, you know, people don't understand that when you go into a bank and you open up a bank account and it's an interest bearing account. Basically, that bank can take your money. They can shut your account down. You're authorizing them to do that. And so,
yeah, I know. We could all technically be bailed in. I understand that. I don't want to go off in the weeds on that, though.
Right. Yeah. So, no, and I get that. But, I mean, there's major problems. The system needs an overhaul. I mean, CPS just needs to be abolished. The Chevron deference that was overturned by the Supreme Court last July said that these agencies have no power. Yet these judges, these criminals in black robes sitting on these benches, won't even pay any attention to that. Like there's no there, and there is. And they don't adhere to the Constitution. They don't adhere to your due process. Our charters of freedom say you can't remove anyone's property from them without a trial by jury. People don't even get a fair trial, never mind a trial by jury. And like you said, and it's preponderance of the evidence. You don't even have the same standard. They're removing your child from you, and you don't even have a trial by jury or, you know, any of your rights adhere to in that court. And it's preponderance of the evidence, 51-49%.
You know, that's really interesting. I never considered that. You know, when you're going into these trials, it's always a trial before a judge, you know, as far as as where the trial goes. But it's never a jury of your peers, so to speak. Huh?
No, and you can't do that. I mean, that's unconstitutional. And the judges know that. And they know they can't take your property. And that's your DNA. That's your child. And then, you know, you deal with CPS, anyone that's been caught up there. First person that shows up at your door typically is a 22-year-old fresh out of college with a clipboard, you know, going through her little checklist of, you know, whatever it is. And your fate is literally in the hands of this very unsophisticated, you know, noob. And once you're in that system, it's very, very difficult to break out. They don't want you out.
What do you think would be
money?
Okay, Now, I've heard this from a lot of conservatives and independent thinking types that say, okay, we want to get the child protective services type of situation back. We want to go back to the states. We've heard about this with the Department of Education. Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. State of Oregon is run by arguably insane people when it comes to administrative services. You know, I can point to a lot of things that are kind of like crazy. There's a part of me that wonders, you know, as bad as the feds may be when it comes to child protective services, if it was just all about Oregon running it, it could be worse. Am I being ridiculous for wondering about that or not?
No, you live in a state that's, you know, it's lost its mind, and I totally understand that. But what we have to do is anyone that swears an oath to the Constitution, anyone who swears an oath to the state constitution, they are obligated to adhere to that, to honor that, and they don't.
Yeah, but it's not self-enforcing. You know that.
No, and we have to enforce it. This is where it must be enforced. We need to have, in fact, you know, American Made is putting together a database. Actually, this a person who built actually some of the government databases for the DOJ is building ours to make sure that we can get people's information of when their rights were violated, and they can upload their documents, and we can use the United Law Coalition to go after these wrongdoers. I mean, just one case at a time, and just start pushing back on these people. It's simply not going to be tolerated. We can't tolerate this anymore. You know, we have to push back. We are on top. If you can picture a pyramid, there's God, and then there's the people, and then there's the government. Everything else is under that. So we created the government. We created the courts. The courts can't be above us. We're above them. The created can't be above the creator. So we created all of this. We're at the top of the food chain here.
You wouldn't know it, though, when you're going into court. You know that.
No, they've dumbed us down, and they've kept, you know, civics out of school. They used to teach us all this stuff. They deliberately kept us dumbed down so we don't know what our rights are. And so it's time for people to start learning what their rights are, learning their place in this country, learning how to run a constitutional republic, because you have to participate in it. And it only can work when you have a righteous, just, you know, people, a God-fearing people, or they don't work. And you can see that it's not. I mean, our constitutional republic has been hijacked by criminals, by immoral people. And so we have to take it back. It's time for, you know, the good people, the moral people, to stand up and fight back here and just say, you know, absolutely not.
Maureen, how would you see Child Protective Services in an ideal world? In the various 50 states, how would it be constructed and operating as contrast as it is right now? Because, you know, here in Oregon, I also had to say another one of the reasons a lot of children get separated from families, because let's be honest, the parents are in trouble, in crisis, and drug addicts, alcoholism, it runs rampant. It really does. And I see the court appointed special the court-appointed advocates, you know, CASA, you were talking about, appear to be doing a pretty good job at sorting this out and trying to be an advocate for the kids. But you're thinking it's a problem, I guess, right?
It's a huge problem, and so aren't mandatory reporters. Most of these people that work for CASA, they're uneducated. They don't have any legal background. All you need is a high school diploma. A lot of them don't have any life experience with this. Some of them are even mentally ill. They never bring before the judge how they did their investigation. I mean, these people have, it's a 6-week course, and literally your family's entire life is in a woman's hands who's got a high school diploma and a 6-week course under her belt. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, I mean, how does anyone... But I guess at the same time, though, would you then require to be a CASA person that you must be a college graduate from Woke University U? I mean, what?
No, I think the whole case should just go in front of a jury of your peers. I think if you had a panel of 5 people, you know, we've all done it. Just think about your friends, anyone's friends, you know, people that got divorced, she claimed he hurt her. You guys all know it's not true. She's exaggerating, whatever. It happens all the time. But a jury of your peers, you'd see through it. Judges don't. The lawyers are playing games. They're getting rich off this, too. It's like you put people, you know, a jury of your peers, 5-person panel. You hear both sides of a family dynamic in the situation. I can almost guarantee you that the people, a jury of your peers, would get it right probably 95% of the time, where right now they're getting it wrong 95% of the time. I know personally, I just hung up the phone before I did this show with a gentleman who's in South Carolina who hasn't seen his daughter, 15 now. He hasn't seen her since she was 3. The mother is a drug addict, an alcoholic, and has been convicted of a felony. The father's clean as a whistle. They gave the kid to her. He spent over $850,000 so far trying to be a parent to his daughter. And they had nothing on him. This man is a veteran and a builder. And this is what the system did to him. And his daughter now is growing up without a dad with the unhealthy parent. And that is what the guardian ad litem recommended. And that is what CPS recommended. And she was the bad parent. And so This happens every day.
Okay, this is sounding once again like my experience in Minnesota 25 years ago. Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
All the time. And so they just don't get it. Whoever, you know, again, you're dealing with, you know, people that aren't terribly sophisticated and they're bamboozled. I mean, we all know addicts are manipulators. Addicts lie. And they don't have that savvy, you know, but I'll tell you what, put her in a group of five adults that have been around the block a few times and they're going to see through it. You know, they're going to see where the rubber meets the road and what's really going on here and make a better decision. Like I said, 95% of the time, someone just did an experiment with AI with this, and AI got it right more times when they fed in the court cases. AI got it better than judges do, where someone was going to be a repeat offender or something like that. And AI could figure it out better than the judges did.
Okay, well, now you're scaring me because I don't necessarily want to have AI... the AI court, you know, it's sounding very stark.
No, I'm not advocating for AI.
Oh, good.
No.
System's not working that well. All right.
Right. That's my point. It's like even a computer can figure it out better than a judge, you know? And so that's how absurd their rulings are.
Maureen, I appreciate the talk. And where can people find out more about the American Made Foundation? Where do you go for that?
Sure. www.americanmadefoundation.org.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be announcing DOJA, the Department of Government Accountability, in D.C. on the steps of the DOJ in about a month. So that's going to be a big announcement because this is we the people. President Trump announced to us that, you know, he's giving the government back to the people. So, you know, Mr. President, we're reporting for duty.
Yeah, you're going to take him at his word, right?
Absolutely, we are.
All right, very good. Maureen, it's a pleasure meeting you. We'll have to have you back. But, yeah,
thanks.
You tell an interesting story. Thanks for calling, okay? Be well.
Same, Bill. Bye-bye.
Right. Shay, before 7 o'clock. Wow. What do you think? This is KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG Grants Pass.
Joel here from Butler.